Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am, as always, your man, Mitts, and with me, the incomparable Twigs.
Hello.
We are coming at you all from a relatively quiet NHL week, I think. What do you say, Twigs?
Yeah, fairly quiet. Not very, actually, you could say lackluster.
Just not a whole lot of big juicy headlines, I think. At least not for anything teams that matter. I mean, we've got the Sedins and Luongo getting into the Hall. Long deserved. I tried to get old Strawbones' attention on the Twitter. I would say I tried that hard, and then I had understandable lack of success. But hey, who knows? Maybe we're chipping away. I feel like he would enjoy hanging out with us.
Yeah, I feel like anybody would. They just have to get like give us a chance. We're kind of cool, kind
We're exceptionally cool. As any listener to this podcast will know, we are very fun, very cool, witty, intelligent, quite buff, loved and respected in our communities and abroad, and just generally stand out, stand up type of people. This has been a weird start to the episode, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird.
So let's try to get back on track. This week, gang, we're gonna have some pretender contender talk coming up. But first, let's get that temp check. Guy, coming in from Alberta, home of those Calgary Flames.
Cowtown.
What's
Dumpster fire. Dumpster fire.
still going, eh?
It's you know what, like, so if they lose tonight against Winnipeg and they lose on Monday, which is highly likely, Winnipeg is on fire. Connor Hellebuyck has completely owned the NHL season, and the Calgary Flames have recent that they could potentially be winless in 3 weeks, for 3 weeks completely winless. And they came out of here's let's break it down. Let's break it down right now. The worst trick that they did to all us Flames fans was come out of the gate 5-1 and 0. The worst trick. Holy shit. We're still good. Johnny who? Matthew who? As Matthew Tkachuk is slowly racking up points in beautiful Florida. Watch the Oilers game. It looks gorgeous down there. Gene on the beach. Jealous. Johnny somehow racking up points with that dumpster fire team in Columbus, who just lost their star defenseman, Zach Werenski, for the season. Connor Bedard, here we come. The Calgary Flames are somehow worse. Not in the team-wise, but like their players just aren't performing. What's killing me, Mitz, what's really killing me is they have this player down in the AHL who's leading the entire AHL with 9 goals in this early season, Matthew Phillips. And Darryl Sutter, nah, not an NHL type player. And I just feel like, I don't know if I'm alone, but I feel like I'm now under Brad Treliving's like tenure here. The player development has been lackluster across the board. We have Ryan Lomberg in Florida. Sam Bennett is in Florida, thriving. Sean Monahan is back in Montreal, doing well. Matthew Tkachuk's doing well. Who else did they just lose in the waivers? Oh, yeah. Juuso Välimäki, who's playing top four in Arizona, and he's thriving. Just go look at his analytics. Go on naturalstattrick.com. Look at his analytics. The kid is playing unreal. You know why? They gave him a shot. I'm all for the big bruising veteran, but you know what? Guess what team isn't scoring right now? The Calgary Flames. Guess who is scoring right now? Matthew Phillips. Call him up. No, all you fans on Twitter screaming, fire Darryl Sutter. No, that's not going to happen. They're not going to fire Darryl Sutter. They're just not going to do it. He hasn't even started his 2-year contract that he just received this past off season. And this is what, the biggest thing when we were talking before the season, we had lots of these conversations. It was like, oh man, summer of Brad, summer of Brad. Yeah, I love it. But you know what? We don't know what this team looks like on the ice. And here's the other sad truth of the Calgary Flames. The Edmonton Oilers might have ruined Jacob Markstrom. Right now he's 27th for expected saves per 60, 5-on-5, 27th. That's not top 10. That's not Vezina caliber. That's nothing. That's garbage, man. That's, you know what that is? That's Jack Campbell.
Ooh.
Yeah, Edmonton shot right there. The reality is right now there's not much hope in Cowtown and in Flames land. Rightfully so. The product on the ice has been really disappointing. Lots of open missing, lots of wide open misses. Andrew Mangiapane secured the bag and then just disappeared. I don't even think he plays anymore. He's not on that roster. So right now, temp check, it's dwindling. There's not much, calmness. Everybody's just on the edge of freaking out and asking for a rebuild. So I guess not dwindling. I guess it's extremely hot.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough to a rebuild with a couple of 30-year-olds with 8-year-plus contracts, but good luck with that.
Think about that. You got Uyghur, who is, he's 28. I think he's 28, and he's got 8 years. Huberdeau, 29. He's got 8 years. He's got 9 years. Sorry. He's got nine. And Nazem Kadri has seven. Yeah. I don't think the rebuild's going to be happening. So go get Timo Meier. We'll all be happy. The Sharks have said they don't want him anyways.
Maybe Treliving could just rebrand the whole season as "This Is Us."
I don't think Brad Treliving, this is a hot take. I don't think Brad Treliving gets a contract after this season. His contract's done at the end of the year. He's, like it or not, he might have swung and hit the fences with the trade for Matthew Tkachuk, or at the time it was hit the fences, like over the fences. But the management and Matthew Tkachuk on Spin Chicklets this week said, no, I wanted to sign my first contract. I wanted to sign 6 to 8 years, and Calgary only offered me three. So that whole management of, like, I don't know what they're doing. Yusuf Al-Mackie's surviving. I already went all over these names. It's the depth is not there, and the holes in the prospect pool are showing. So, yeah,
Well,
I don't know.
it speaks to a problem when you can draft and at least partially develop some of these players, but you aren't able to recognize their talent when it's in-house. You can only recognize players like a Huberdeau and a Kadri who have already done it and proved themselves a dozen times over. But unfortunately, because that's who you bring in, they've already played most of their best hockey. I'm not, Huberdeau and Kadri still have probably a couple of really great years left, but I think it's fair to say their best hockey has already occurred.
And
But
Kadri's been
so,
unreal. I do want to say one thing.
yeah.
Brian Burke used to always say you can never build your team via free agency and via the trade deadline. The Calgary Flames have five players in their roster that they've drafted. That's not great. That either means you're overpaying for guys, you're spending assets to acquire guys, and you're just not, like, de developing well. And that's what we're seeing here, the Calgary Flames.
Well, I got to say, to all of our listeners out there, I mean, if this keeps up, we might not get a temp check on the Flames next week. Next week, they may be pronounced
The
dead before they
rant will be
arrive.
great.
But
If they don't win for 3 weeks, I am going to lose it next Sunday. And there will be foul potty language, or as my grandma says, French. Which is
oh.
completely not true, but whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, in Blues Land, there, in past weeks, there have been some people, some fans who have been hitting the panic button. There have been some fans who have been, losing their cool, pronouncing the team dead. I couldn't point them out to you. Nobody that I know, none of my friends would say something like that about the Blues. As far as I can tell, it's all up from here. The Blues are about to begin a 70-game win streak tonight with Vegas. They broke their 8-game losing streak, which, you know, it's good to get the losses out of the way early. That's what I always say. That's if anybody knows me, they always say you get your losses out of the way early so you can get the wins the rest of the year. Blues are rolling. They've won the one last game. They're 1-0. Kyrou scored. He's back. Booch got some points. He's back. They sent down Jake Neighbors, who, you know, no disrespect to the guy. He's a young kid, basically, still. Brought up Laiho, Nikita Alexandrov, and yeah, this is it. The Blues have started their run. The parade is back on. Anybody that doesn't get on the bandwagon now for the Blues and their cup run is going to miss out because I'm telling you, Ty, it has started. So it sucks. It sucks for you that in Flames land, you guys are terrible. You've only got 5 wins and 12 points overall, but the Blues are getting ready to take off. They're a rocket ship. So strap in, buddy. Strap in. Things are looking up
Man,
in
what a
old
week.
St. Louis.
What a difference a week makes.
You know me. I've long been able to weather these things. I don't get shaken up by a few
Yeah.
losses. It's you gotta keep cool. You gotta keep calm. These are professionals.
Right.
These things
Right.
happen
Right. How many
sometimes.
wins do the Blues have?
Four good wins. Yeah. But
Where are they in their division?
I mean, it's so early, it's barely even worth keeping track. As we'll point out in our next segment, it's barely even worth keeping track or recognizing like early things like this. Like these are just working out the kinks, getting the stretch in. When you go
Right.
to the gym, you usually warm up a little bit. And that's what
Right.
the Blues have been doing. They've been warming up. Other teams have been sprinting out of the gates, patting themselves on the back. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Who did they beat the other day to start this win streak? What team
I
was it?
mean, they beat the pants off of a team who they should beat, the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that's champions win the games they're supposed to win.
Right.
It's
No, I agree.
common sporting knowledge, you know?
Yeah, no.
Listen, the Blues are 1-0 this week, as far as I'm concerned. The Lions are 1-0. Both of them won big games over big time legacy opponents. That's all money from here. It's gravy time, baby. Choo-choo, the train has left the station. And don't go digging up your
I'm
analytics,
not. I was
all
going to.
that
I
witchcraft that
refrained.
you,
Hey, I'm not going to. Hey, huh?
yeah.
I'm glad. Were the Lions on a bye?
No, they stomped Aaron Rodgers
Oh.
so good. They
Receiverless Aaron Rodgers, right.
intercepted him 3 times. You know how
Yeah.
long it's been since Aaron Rodgers threw 3 interceptions in a game?
Tell
There are
us.
seasons where he doesn't have that many interceptions. The Lions just took him to the wrong side of the tracks, beat the pants off him, and left him there for the locals. That's just what happened there.
I'm
Yeah,
glad. Hey, you know what?
they probably ended his career. I mean, he'll
I'm the.
finish off, he'll limp his way through the rest of the season,
Yeah.
but he's done. The Lions just buried him. He put the nail in the coffin. He's done. He's probably gonna get vaccinated now. They beat him so bad.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers like wishes he like, what is it, ayahuasca? I wonder if he wishes he never did that because he sucks now. He tried to find spirits or like religion or something. He tried to find himself and he probably shouldn't have. He was pretty good at the way he was before. Yeah, so what if he hated his family? It didn't matter.
Still winning.
That's ayahuasca's slogan. It'll change you forever. You might even throw 3 picks against the D Detroit Lions.
Just wait. Just wait. Just you wait.
Do you want to know how hot Flames Twitter is? This is how hot. This is the first tweet that on air that I opened up. It was like, not even joking. Tonight's first shot on Jacob Markstrom will be a dot dot dot. And then there's a poll and it says goal or save. And goal is winning right now. Yeah. I'm glad,
Oh,
you know
man.
what? But I'm happy that you're happy. That brings me so much joy.
We're flying. Plan the parade. Book your ticket. Book your flight. You heard it here first.
Amen.
Lose by a billion.
Lose by a billion. Okay, well let's get into this little segment. Like we said, the week hasn't been very crazy. But there have been a few surprises this season. And I think it was like last year where the San Jose Sharks were like undefeated for how long in the top of the Pacific. And then they come back to back down to earth. But I remember we did this last year and some of us were right and some of us were wrong. We did it with our buddy over from John from what is it? Double
Double
Digit
digit.
Hockey. Double Digit Hockey. That's John. Great guy. We did it with him and he had some takes. I had a correct take where Winnipeg, I said they weren't going to make the playoffs. Look at me now, boys. But we're gonna revisit that. So I have four teams, and I just want you to quickly say what you think they are. I'm gonna give you some stats. I'm gonna give you their
All
record,
right. Okay.
and I want you to tell me where you think they're gonna finish. And the first one is they currently have the best player in hockey, Jesper Bratt. They are 11-3. They are seventh in the NHL goals per game. They are fifth in the NHL goals against. Thank you, Vitek Vinicek, or whatever his name is. He's amazing. What a steal. Like, could you imagine? We're gonna control yourself, Tyler. Penalty kill, eighth. And the only glaring hole overall is their power play, which ranks 20th in the NHL. But from what you've seen, they've stomped some teams. Are the New Jersey Devils pretenders or contenders?
Contenders all the way.
All the way.
All the way. Contenders all the way. Probably going to make it to the Final Four in the East this year. Let me tell you this. I've been talking about the Devils for years now since they drafted Nico Hischier in the first. I said, listen, this might take some time, but this is happening. They got the Hughes-es. They got most people's favorite, Douglas H. Hamilton. No, the Devils are legit. This is a team that has been putting good pieces in there, drafted pretty well. Didn't really often get the biggest, flashiest superstar of these drafts, but good quality hockey players. They've been building them slowly. They've been bringing in free agents at the right time. Last season, I think we would have seen a little bit more of this, but Mackenzie Blackwood basically lost the entirety of the season. He's playing this year. He's healthy, but along with that, like you talked about, Vanacek is there, and Vanacek has lots of hockey in him. And I think one thing that we saw in Washington that I think got lost is that he is an excellent tandem goaltender because he can play well enough, but he never really was able to run with it on his own. He's still pretty young, so that could just be a growing pain aspect, but it also, the Capitals kind of stink anyways. From top down, bottom, left, right, the whole organization, bunch of losers. So that's probably what Vanacek's main issue was, that he was hanging out with a bunch of losers. Now he's hanging out with a bunch of great people. New Jersey of all places, kind of a surprise. And yeah, no, they're in it. They're going on a run. Contenders, 112%.
Nice. So I agree. I think they're contenders. The team, Nico Hischier, should probably finish top three in Selke voting this year. He's been unbelievable. He will win that award one day. It'll be between him, Barkov, easily down the stretch. He's playing unreal hockey. I've already been able to watch him twice, really focused on the games because they were playing the Calgary Flames, but I've turned into other games and I love what they're doing. It is hilarious that the fans were booing Lindy Ruff when they went 0-2, and now they are 11-3. Jesper Bratt bet on himself. He looks like he's made the right choice. He is going to get paid lots of money for that young individual. Mackenzie Blackwood, on the other hand, is hurt again this year. He has
Oh.
MCL sprain in his knee. So I don't know. I can't remember the timeline on that, but he is out for the near future.
Oof.
But right now, that's why you go and get this the backup, right? This is why you go get Vitek. The in best insurance policy ever, because Mackenzie Blackwood, before he got hurt, was playing really well, and Vitek was playing well. So now they should be able to steady the storm, unlike last year where we do all love Scott Wedgwood, but he just wasn't the answer. My second team. This one kills me because we are our loyal listener, Mitch. Detroit, new coach. They're 7-4-3. They are third in the Atlantic right now. They aren't scoring that many goals. This is where it's kind of weird. They're scoring below three goals, or 19th in the league. They're allowing over three goals per game. They're 18th in the league. Their power play is in the bottom half. Actually, it's in the bottom quarter. And their penalty kill is 12th. Is this team just getting some bounces, some stellar goaltender performances from Ville Husso? Is that what, and Ned? Or is this team a contender?
I mentioned earlier, the Blues got a lot of their losses this season out of the way early. I think the Detroit Red Wings are getting a lot of their wins this season out of the way early. They are. I mean, is it fair to call them a pretender if they're really not even that good? They're certainly not going to challenge for anything. They're not going to make the playoffs. They do have some talent. They've got some good young players. They've got some good older players, but they're not nearly talented enough. They don't have the top end talent does not really match up with most of the top end teams, outside of a few like a Mo Sider perhaps. Goaltending, love and respect to Husso and Ned, and I think that either one of those two fellows, maybe both those guys, could end up being a number one, a true number one in some time. I don't care what Husso looks like in the regular season this year until he can win a playoff game. I don't think we can call him anything. And I mean, Ned has had lots of opportunities to take it, the mantle. They're both, well, Ned at least is still relatively young by hockey terms. Husso is probably coming really into his prime. So yeah, I mean, I think that the Red Wings have a lot of things in place where they could in the future build on it and be something if players continue to grow. But I mean, yeah, with 7 wins in the first 14 games, I think that they're already kind of maxed out with how good they're going to be proportionally to the rest of the league.
Yeah, I could see the Detroit Red Wings fighting for a spot. I definitely think they're pretenders. I think they are. A lot of their holes are kind of being hid by Ville Husso right now. He's got a save percentage of 0.92, which is wicked, and his goals against is 2.5, and he's got two shutouts, and he's got 5 of the 7 wins. He's looking good. No, I don't think this team's deep enough. I feel like they have some injuries this year with Vrana going out, with Bertuzzi still out. Kopp just hasn't looked like what he was supposed to be, but that's kind of like that's what you get when you play with in free agency. You overpay for players that, you know, their whole career were third line centers, and now you try to give them an elevated role in Detroit, and it's just not working out the way it is. Listen, Lucas Raymond is going to be a stud. They have that line where they got a bunch of giant people, all of them over 6'5". They look really good. Sider is really good. They have a lot of great pieces. Is this the year? No, I don't think this is the year. I just don't think this is the year. So I definitely think I'm on board with you. Not a lot of argument between the first two,
I
which is
will say
fair.
real quick though, one light I want to shine in Detroit is this finally getting an opportunity to get the respect he deserves is Kubalik. I think if you're in fantasy or a Detroit Red Wings fan and you have an opportunity to get him, you cannot overpay. I think that he is going to keep this up and he's going to explode for the rest of the year. So just throwing that out there.
This is Kubalik's third year, right? I think because he came out of the gate rookie year, was amazing with Blackhawks, and I think he stumbled last year, or maybe this is his fourth year. But yeah, he looks like he's, you know, winning changes a lot of things. When you're playing in Chicago, where you're losing every game, where you didn't know who your goaltender was, where it just was rough, and you go to an organization with Stevie Y at the helm, and their coach is great, and they will fight. But yeah, that does wonders for teams. and players. So we both have.
He's a great player, and if you're in fantasy, go out there and get him and pay for it because it's worth it.
Yeah, I think I don't even, what's his roster? He's owned across, I think it's below 80, or it might be above 80 now. My next team, and this one is hilarious because I remember when we did the coaching hire and we were talking about the which coach are you really looking forward to? I'm pretty positive I said I think the coach that's going to make the biggest difference is Rick Bowness. Or maybe I said he was going to be the worst. I can't remember. Let's not go back and look. It was either Rick or it was DeBoer. It was one of those two. They kind of.
You were all over DeBoer stuff.
I'm still all over DeBoer. If Ottinger wouldn't have got hurt right out of the gate, that team, and they are doing just fine. But I am all over DeBoer. The Winnipeg Jets. Connor Hellebuck's team. They're 8-3-1. First in the Central. They are 15th in goals per game at 3.1. They are third in the NHL with only allowing 2.3 goals per game. Their power play is suspect 21st, but their penalty kill is red hot, 7th in the league. Mark Scheifele is back. He's got 8 goals. Pierre-Luc Dubois has 3 power play goals. Connor Hellebuck has a goals against at 1.98. Holy cow, give him the Vezina already. 7 wins. And Calgary boy Josh Morrissey leading the team in assists. Are the Winnipeg Jets contenders or pretenders?
They're pretenders. Jets are pretenders. Come on. Let's be real. This is almost player for player the exact same team as last year, maybe even the year before. Hellebuck, one of the best goaltenders in the league, and that defensive core is an underrated, talented group, in my opinion. But no, like this is they're pretenders. This is a big part of a lot of other teams, like a lot of these teams that are sitting at the top of the table right now. They're more so taking advantage of the fact that a number of actual quality deep teams have started to struggle. I'll say it. I don't mind saying it. These are going to be these are going to these teams are they might challenge for a playoff spot, a wild card spot. But no, they've got enough talent. Like they should have been in the hunt last year, but no, this won't hold up. If anything, I'd say this has a lot more to do with the fact that Winnipeg is one of the more dreary, snowy areas in the entirety of the NHL, and players just are still enjoying themselves. They haven't hit the part of the season. By the time February rolls around, everyone's going to be acclimated and ready for it. But Winnipeg is catching people early who are just still getting their legs and going to the middle of nowhere in this freezing cold tundra. It's
Yeah,
going to work itself out.
I don't think Winnipeg could be considered a Stanley Cup contender until that like city gets an airport.
Shots fired.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. I am the complete opposite of you. I think we saw this with the team last year in the Calgary Flames, and I think we also saw it in a team as the New York Rangers, where you can be carried by your goalie. You can be. And Connor Hellebuck is a stud. He's a workhorse. Heck, I don't even think he's going to get a night off all year. And I don't blame him. David Riddick is their backup. And what we saw from him last year in Nashville, he wasn't great.
Former
Just.
Calgary Flame heartthrob, Dave Riddick.
Hey, we loved him until he started to suck, all right? We don't want to talk about it anymore. I actually think I really do believe that this team, I feel like stripping the C from Blake Wheeler was the right thing to do.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think
Terrible.
you're starting to see the rise of Josh Morrissey. Pierre-Luc Dubois is not getting talked about like he was a couple years ago. Mark Scheifele seems to be able to find the back of the net. And you know what's crazy? Freaking Kyle Connor isn't even scoring yet. This team could be deadly. I feel like all four of the top teams make it in the Central. I think Winnipeg makes it, Dallas makes it, Colorado makes it. And who else was in there right now? Let me look. And Minnesota's going to find a way, I think. And then if St. Louis or Nashville fight for it, like there's a big hole already. Like it's tough to see Winnipeg lose that lead. But yeah, I don't know. The Central's going to be fascinating. Fascinating because there is a chance that five Central teams can make both wild cards, which is crazy.
It is early in the season.
You
However,
can't see that? You can't see
it's.
five of them?
I just want to draw attention to this. On Winnipeg, tied for third on the team in goals right now,
Yeah.
is Sam, I thought he retired 10 years ago, Gagner. Now, do not take that as disrespect or slander towards Sam Gagner.
Oh, slander.
Happy that that man is still continuing his career and presumably doing what he loves. But he is tied for third on that team for goals.
But isn't that a
I
good,
think
like, could you?
that shows you how improbable and silly that
Oh.
this is. Then they're not doing nothing. They're not doing anything. The whole team, the whole league right now is just mired in lackluster, inconsistent play. Okay, can we just say that?
Yeah, I'm gonna I think I could take it to the bank that Sam Bennett is not gonna be third in the scoring on the Winnipeg Jets when all the dust settles. Like Kyle Connor has two.
Think he's gonna probably be the lead. Winnipeg right now has only played 12 games.
Yeah, and they're first. They're gonna knock the
I mean, sure,
boots off
they're gonna beat
Calgary
the
tonight.
they're gonna yeah, but
They're
I
gonna
mean,
spank them.
anybody that has been to Calgary know this, that it's not easy to take a win out of that town. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. Yeah, not the last homestead. You're right about that. That's for sure.
Long
I
as
don't
you
know.
dodge whatever's being thrown off the roof of the Saddle Dome, you're
Oh
fine.
my God. Okay, we're not turning this to Calgary anymore. I disagree with you. I think the Winnipeg Jets are contenders. And the stats that I read and the you saying Sam Gagner is third in goaling, you're getting depth goal scoring and your best goal scorer isn't scoring yet. That's great. And Connor Hellebuyck looks like he's back. And that's what was missing last year. They're easy contenders. Bag it. Take it. You know who was right about Winnipeg last year? I was. I'm right this year too. Get an airport. And my last team, the one that we've been mocking all summer. No, not the Toronto Maple Leafs, even though they deserve it. The Arizona Coyotes. Right now, they're fifth in the Central, and they're 1 point out from a wild card. They are 6-6-1. Nobody saw that coming. They are 23rd in goals per game. They are 26th in goals against. They have the third best power play. Bunch of power play merchants. And they have the 10th best penalty kill. And Nick Bleepin' Richie leads them in goals. And Clayton Keller is on pace for 98 points. Are the Arizona Coyotes contenders or pretenders?
What are we doing here? Fifth out of eight teams, so they're in the bottom half of the division.
Yeah.
They're 4 points out of first in the division, 5 points out of last. They are, let me scroll down to find them, 23rd in the league. I mean,
They're 2 points out of a wild card with a game in hand.
almost everybody's 2 points out of a wild card, one way or the other, right now. Listen, they are not contenders. I'd say for the most part, they are exactly who we thought they were.
Oh, I would not have thought
And
this.
I mean, they've got 6 wins. That's just about where I picked them for this year. So they're probably about wrapped up. I thought for sure, and I don't even want to waste any more time talking about these shitbag Coyotes for being barely above mediocre. I need to know from you right now on the spot, where do you stand? Pretender or contender? This team is the seventh ranked team currently. You talk about a team we made fun of. Talk about a team that I have talked a lot of smack about. We are talking about the Seattle Kraken. Pretender or contender?
Like, I'm hurt that you didn't like my Arizona pick, but the Seattle Kraken. Oh man, this one like has me right on the pretender. I'm gonna say pretender. I feel like this team is overperforming right now. Easily. They're getting Martin Jones is not the stud that he's showing to be right now. He's just not that good, but he's playing really well. Matty Beniers is a stud. He's amazing. They somehow came back from down 3-1 and won a game against Calgary. Good on them. And it was their backup playing Decord. They are in every game. That's what you want on a rebuilding team. They're in every game. They fight till the end. They have a lot of grinders. I just don't think they're there yet. I just don't think that that team is ready to quite jump into the playoffs. They've like some of the best looking jerseys. I'll give them that too. Yeah, their power play's 13th. Their goals against, they're scoring more than 3 goals a game. Their goaltending's been unreal. Like they're ninth in goals against in the whole NHL. If you would have told me that team without Grubauer was going to be ninth in the NHL goals against, I would have said you are the dumbest hockey person in the world, and there's no way that Martin Jones would have 7 wins and a goals against of 2.3. That's crazy. And his save percentage is 910. No, they're pretenders. 100% pretenders. Book it, bank it, pretenders.
Yeah, do we think a team, do we think that this is the real Martin Jones, or do we think the Martin Jones we've seen over the last 10 plus years is the real Martin Jones? Do we think a team with, I'll say it, no real top line center right
Nope.
now? Beniers is an exciting young talent, and he's going to be should be a huge player in this league.
Yeah.
I think he's 12 years old, and he's definitely not competing against the other top C's. Now, this team is a pretender. This team is the definition of a pretender. I think we did this last year, like you mentioned earlier, where we did this at the start of the year, and San Jose, shout out Martin Jones' origin story. San Jose was flying and doing great. Anaheim was near the top, and like we said at the time, well, at least like I said at the time, I don't know about you, those Southern California pretenders were going to fall once everybody came back to earth. Once all these great teams that started off slow, shook off the rust, and played at least to their ability, they would fall back to earth. We were right last year. Bang on money in the bank, right? And yeah, Seattle's a pretender. Maybe they'll get there, you know. If Beniers takes a big step next season, if they finally get some kind of real goaltending pedigree back there, it's not Grubauer. And I'm sorry, Martin Jones, I'm so happy that you're having a great stretch right now, but Martin Jones isn't it either.
Yeah, I think what you said is spot on. They don't have a top C. Their goaltending right now is playing over their heads. And they don't have the top end talent. No, I think what they are building right now is actually really good. I think they're competing every day. And we've begged on the Seattle Kraken a lot of episodes. Actually, let me rephrase that. You've begged on the Seattle Kraken a lot of episodes. And you know what? Ron Francis was like, holy cow, did I botch that expansion draft? And now he's starting to do his job. And I'll give it to him. The Shane Wright debacle right now that's going on in Seattle makes no sense to me. Send the guy back to junior. Makes no sense to me not to play him. Yeah, cool. He's practicing. Players need to play. But yeah, right now they're not where they need to be. And the biggest mistake that they could make is to try to contend and go add big players and do all that. Right now, what they should be doing is continue developing what they're doing Matthew Beniers has 25 games in, under his belt. 25. It takes a lot of years for these players to turn into the superstars they are, and if they go do well with him, he is going to be a stud. But no, they're pretenders.
Yep. And I'll say it right now. I'll say it. I don't mind saying this. Ron Francis, I know you ghost listen to this podcast. If you're not a complete and utter coward, you will come on to this podcast and you will challenge the things that I've said. If I don't hear from you, I just accept that you agree in your heart of hearts. You know I'm right. And I mean, good luck to whoever takes over after you, because they'll have a lot of work ahead of them.
Beauty. Beauty. He's not going to come.
Yeah, he's scared.
He's scared. Yo, Ronnie.
You can't take the heat. You
got those Starbucks down there in Seattle and the bagel. I don't know. His bagel's big in Seattle. I don't know why I went to. Why did I go to New York accent? Went got a fish at the market.
Ronnie. Small market Ronnie. Ronnie's never played the market small enough for him to feel comfortable.
Oh. God damn, that was. That hurt me.
Anyways. Ron Francis goes to Nunavut and says, a lot of people around here, isn't there?
Oh.
Too much pressure. Too much pressure for old Ron Don Francis.
This is going to be the Ron Don hate episode. That's what we're just going to name it. And we're just going to tag the CL Kraken until he listens to it.
Nice. Come guy, on, Donnie. Ron Francis. Ronnie. He's never heard a fly. Just getting nowhere.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's early in the season. It is what it is. Oh, I tell you. Well, so, hey, let's take a moment to talk about the fact that, speaking of dumpster fires, the Calgary Flames are not the only relevant industry company that's on a complete dumpster fire right now and that affects us personally in this podcast. It does appear as though Twitter is about shut down any day now, because Small Nuts Musk just can't do anything right to save his life. So once Elon is done completely destroying one of the only fun and interesting social media companies left, where are you going to find us? That's the question that's on everybody's mind. Well, coming soon, we will have answers. I'd say find us on Twitter, get the answers, but I just said Twitter's going to crash soon. So what do you think, Ty? Do you think we can make Instagram a go? Is MySpace the new...
Bring back MySpace. Reddit? Yeah. Should we make a Reddit thing?
Reddit's really mean to me. I don't know if I can keep it up every time I say something.
I'm actually hurt about this Twitter thing, because I really wanted to buy a blue check mark and he took it away from me already. Can't even buy it anymore. I wanted one. Well, Elon, take my $8.
There were so many people
misrepresenting
themselves.
Just
as, I mean, there was a bunch of fake Mitts and Twitter, Mitts and Twigs accounts. We luckily got them shut down before they made any real damage, but arguably one of the most faked accounts out there was a Mitts and Twigs Twitter accounts, just out there to try to tear us down.
Bring
other
us
podcasts
down.
That can't hit our level, so they decided to fight dirty, try to cut underneath. Well, unfortunately we can't stop, won't stop, so you're not going to deal with that. But I say we reach out and we get some kind of sweetheart deal with Instagram. You know, let's just do it. Old metaverse face himself is probably looking for a win these days, so you know, maybe we get on there, maybe we can start a WhatsApp group chat, you know.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We, you speak to the youth. What are they looking at these days? I don't
really
want to go to
TikTok. It's all. What is that now? It's Be Real, Snapchat. I think it's Snapchat. Instagram. I don't even know if Instagram's a thing. Was it Visco? Is it Visco? What is Visco? I don't know. I legit only like. I will be heartbroken if Elon continues on this path of destruction of Twitter, because it is the only social media app I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And this guy really messing with my heart.
I tell you what, you guys out there, keep your eyes peeled, whether it's Snapchat, TikTok, OnlyFans, Tumblr, to be determined. I don't know. I don't know. But
TikTok would be sick. Could you imagine we do dances while giving information?
I prefer not to imagine it.
I'm thinking of all the potential right now. Damn, that's ceilings are like unlimited. Like,
I feel like that if TikTok became a
bro.
thing, eventually we would have to get on skates and then we'd be completely exposed.
But kind of skate.
No, you can't.
Kinda. I think TikTok's it, man. That's the answer.
No.
Find us on TikTok. We're gonna do all the cool dances, like, I don't know, giving you the
That
information. How
really
about just
hope that wasn't
Elon?
the best example.
Elon, just don't mess this up for us, please. Don't do it. How am I gonna know what the lines are if you take away Twitter? I have to call my guys? No way. Anyways, this is our
Coming.
famous outro. We have just gone on and on. That was Pretenders and Contenders. This is Mitts and Twigs.
We'll be coming to you live from ICQ next week.
Thank you for joining us in what's now almost winter. I myself am Mitts from myself, Mitts and Twigs. Oh shit. We're done.
That's
Goodbye.
why I do the outros, folks.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a beautiful night. I'll never do an outro again.